What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 15 of our weekly tech podcast, where we kind of talk about tech, we kind of geek out and do all the kind of fun stuff. With me this morning, we have Derek, as always. What's going on with you, Derek?
Not much, Bob. How you doing? How you surviving this week?
It's been a long week. It's Computex week, so it's pretty much, especially for computer hardware related, it's kind of the biggest week of the year for that type of news, especially video card, motherboard, cases, all kind of, you know, the real...
All that good stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff kind of happened this week. So we have a ton of news. It is a crazy week, and I've been covering the show for the site, so we have a whole lot of articles. Obviously, we're not going to go over everything out of the show because this podcast would be 4 hours long. But before we get into Computex, which I know a lot of people are excited about, let's talk about the reviews this week. Starting off this week, I took a look at the Thermaltake Suppressor F51, and that is kind of their take on a sort of silent case, but a case you can still build a full powerful system in, and I really liked it. Obviously, the sound dampening material. So there's sound dampening material on both side panels, the top and the front. So it is extremely, extremely quiet when you have a system installed. Extremely easy to build in, too. I didn't have a single issue doing the build. It can fit all of the top-end hardware you can put in there. I really can't say much bad about it. It's just it's a well-built case.
Looks like it's a good size case. You can get up to 420 millimeter radiators in the top. That's pretty big.
And in the front.
In the front?
Yeah, so it's nice. So with a lot of PC cases, you can't take out the 5 1/4 inch drive bays.
Right.
But with this case, you can. You can actually just unscrew them and take them out. Both of the hard drive cages in the front can also be removed. So you can completely take everything out of the case, really. And so you can do a 420 in the top and a 420 in the front, actually.
Nice.
So you can build a pretty high-end system in here. And it's, like I said, it's made to be fully modular. So what I've really liked about Thermaltake with their past, I don't know, two or three series of cases is that they make them for builders. So internally, they're made to be kind of modular. Like, you can take the hard drive cages out. You know, you can change certain things. You can, with the smaller cases I've seen, you can take every panel of the case off, so you can easily get in and edit the components and everything like that.
Nice.
This kind of follows the same thing. You know, a lot of times when it comes to mid towers and full towers, you can't really do anything with the 5 1/4 inch drive bays. You know, they're kind of just there, and they get in the way. So with this, if you're not using them, with a lot of people aren't these days. I mean, I don't know that many people that actually use optical drives. You know, so it's just kind of out of the way, and that's a good thing, I feel.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can kind of go ahead and do that. And if you're not using the 5 1/4 inch drive base, they're set up to hold hard drives as well. So each one will hold a 3 1/2 inch hard drive or 2 2 1/2 inch hard drives. So it's pretty cool, I think. It's just good to see them kind of do that. And they, like I said, the last couple series of their cases have been like that. They're made for people who are really building, not just kind of everybody, just to make it easier. And to make it, you know, this case is LCS certified, so that's their water cooling certification that they have. So it's going to fit all of your water cooling components inside as well. Long graphics cards, all that kind of stuff. So it's a good all-around case. And I think it's $119. Which is quite good for all the sound dampening material. It's thick, you know, it's thick steel. It's a good case for that price. You really can't go wrong.
Nice.
And you took a look at a pretty cool product this week. You took a look at the Corsair H80i GT liquid CPU cooler.
I did. I talked about this last week. I've been working on it for a little while. We had trouble with the motherboard, but got it done now. And it was our top performing 120 millimeter radiator, so that was pretty cool to see a new top performer. This is basically, I mean, the H80's been around for a really long time. It's one of the original AIOs, I would say. And it's always been a really thick radiator, so you have a lot of performance in a 120. But now we've got Corsair's software connected to it, So you can go in and you can control everything from the computer, everything including, you know, pump speed, fan speed, LED color on it. And then, of course, it follows the same aesthetics as all the current Corsair line of AIOs has, which is this gray stripe and their Corsair logo on black. It's just a really nice look that a couple companies are starting to do with their AIOs, realizing that the plain black is kind of boring and doing a little something more for us.
Yeah, it follows the same line as the other GT cooler you recently reviewed, right?
Yeah, both of them that I've done recently. It's the same, yep, same basic visual design. And then, yeah, the same thick sleeve tubing, which looks nice. The only thing about this one that I didn't like is it's got the same pump style as the last cooler I did, which was the H100i GTX, which the tubing goes straight into the top of it and makes it a little bit difficult to get the pump flat when you're trying to install it. But you can get it done. It's just a little bit of a hassle.
Gotcha.
Other than that, I mean, it's quiet and it performs well. I mean, it's not performing with like the 240s, but it's pretty close, and it's $100 online, and it's a little bit expensive, but it's not bad.
Yeah, is it 120 millimeter radiator, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is something that you could possibly get in a really small form factor. I mean, it is a little bit thicker, but it's something that, you know, with a lot of the smaller form factor cases, you may only have a 120, 140 millimeter fan opening.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is kind of, if you want a really high performance AIO that can fit in a smaller type case, this is it. Because most people, they're buying the 240 because they have the room up top or in the front of their case. But for a lot of people, especially small form factor build, you only have that 120 or 140 maybe.
Yep, and this is the best performance you can get in that size that we've seen.
Nice, nice. Alrighty. So those are the only two reviews we did this week. Again, we focused a lot on news this week just because it is kind of one of the biggest weeks for tech news, so we really wanted to get all of that news to you instead of doing reviews, which I guess is a good thing. But before we jump into our news, we did do our Case Mod Friday, which is a section on the site where we cover a case mod that's been completed in the community. And this one I really, really liked. It's called Project Clunk. And
it's a perfect name.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's so recently, you know, a lot of the mods that we cover are just like these really sleek, cool mods. They're not really
perfect though.
Yeah, they're not, I would say, like themed as far as like themed after anything. This is a truly themed mod. So it's not based completely off Mad Max, but it sort of has like, it's in that type of,
it's got a real Mad Max feel. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's like post-apocalyptic type feel. And the entire case inside and out is themed towards this. And it just looks awesome. It's one of the better themed builds I've seen.
It looks like a set piece kind of from a movie. Like this would do, this guy could probably build sets.
Yeah. Like it's
all these little artistic details to making it look kind of like a cobbled together. I mean, just like Mad Max. I mean, like all the cars and stuff, they're sort of cobbled together, but they're all kind of like really mean looking too at the same time.
Yeah. It's just that type of thing. It's just really, really well done. It's one of the better case mods that I've seen that I've just, the amount of detail that this person had put into it is just insane.
So it's like a kind of like beat up looking, right? So like everything on it is kind of like worn and like just kind of cobbled together sort of looking, but it's not like, I've seen builds where people have done things sort of similar, but they'll do like they'll scratch up a couple things and then like call it good. And this is like every single little bit of it is like has been textured or refinished in a way to make it like blend into that really worn, like this thing looks like it's been in like combat almost.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, like again, that we don't see in a lot of the mods that we've covered is they're not like this. Like the amount of detail that's on this is just crazy.
He spent a lot of time, that's for sure.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time doing this. Again, this is just like, yeah, that's why I actually chose this one. It's just one of the better mods that I've seen. You know, and again, it just shows you that not all mods are the same as far as, you know, like I said, the typical mods that we were seeing, you know, everybody's kind of doing the same thing, and this is completely the other direction, which I love. So yeah.
I didn't see, he's got this, like, it looks like a pump on the backside of it. Is that actually functional, or, I don't know.
Yeah, so.
Because he's got the pump inside it. But this might also be working.
The pump on the other side actually does work.
That's pretty
crazy. Yeah, because I went through the entire work log, which is quite long, and yeah, he's done some really cool things. It's just like, again, it's not something that you typically see, and everything's kind of incorporated into the theme. I know we're just talking about it, like, obviously over audio, you really can't get a great idea.
No.
Definitely go to the site and definitely check it out.
Like, this pump is just like. Looks like a piece from a car.
Yeah.
And he has modified it in some way to work in the case. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just a great mod.
And there's a ton of pictures too.
Yeah, I think we have over 50 pictures of this mod.
That's awesome.
It's just, like I said, it's really great. Don't listen to us, just go to our Case Mod Friday section and check it out. It's like, it's one of the better mods I've seen as far as just detail. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is made to follow this post-apocalyptic type Mad Max type theme. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Again, we can't talk about it enough just because it's so in detail. It's just so great. Definitely check that out. And if you're into case mods, we have an entire Case Mod Friday section. So there's ton of cases, all different styles, all different types of mods we have in there. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And now we'll move on to the big thing of the week, which is Computex. If you didn't see, we have an entire Computex 2015 page that it's all of the news that come out of Computex. I think there's close to 40 articles in there.
Nice work, Bob.
It's a lot, man. I barely slept this week. I've been running on energy drinks and not a lot of sleep, but I wanted to get all the news out to you guys. That's kind of the big thing when these shows come, because there is so much news. It's kind of hard. You know, you might get overwhelmed with a lot of stuff. So I kind of tried to cover the best things, and the best things for hardware, because, you know, we don't care about cell phones or any of that type of stuff. So Computex is really a hardware focused show. So it's
just nice.
Yeah, and it's a lot of times we'll see this is where a lot of cases, graphics cards, motherboards are shown for the first time. So the way we're going to do the show today is we're going to do our comp. There's a lot of other tech news this week as well, but the big things that we're going to cover is obviously Computex news, and we're going to do it in kind of sections. So we'll start with cases and then go on to graphics cards and then go on to motherboards and then a couple other things that we saw at the show that were pretty cool. Nice. So let's just go ahead and jump in. And the coolest thing that I saw at the show was Inwin's new H-Tower case. This case is just badass. It is, you know, well, let's just preface this with Inwin. So I think maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they started doing their specialty limited edition cases. And Computex has kind of been the show where they show off these limited edition cases. It's every year we expect Inwin to have some crazy, insane case at Computex. It's just what they've done for the past few years, and it's awesome. They push the limit every year. It's like every year, how are they going to top what they did last year? And I believe last year was the S-Frame, which was their custom case that's made out of a single thick piece of aluminum and then glass. And I think it was a $700 case. I think there were only 500 made. So how are you going to top that? How are you going to top a case that just looks awesome? And I kind of think they have.
Definitely in the out of the world section.
Yeah, so this is called the H Tower. And what it is, it's a tower type case that sort of looks like a cube type tower, but it literally will transform. So It has some type of, I don't know if it's hydraulics in it,
yeah.
or something along those lines, that it's controlled by like an iPad or smartphone app, and the case literally will, the panels will kind of come out, and it will literally transform and open up, something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
We have a video on the site. You can go ahead and check out the post. It's just crazy. Like
it goes from like a cube down to like an open bench kind of.
Yeah, like
it displays like all of your components. Like yeah, it's hard to exactly explain.
Yeah, it's very hard to explain. Go to the site and check it out. It is just crazy that it's able to do this, obviously.
A lot of engineering, that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of engineering. Something completely different, because a lot of the specialty cases that we've seen from InWin each year have kind of followed the same type of design, and this is completely different. I don't think anybody really expected this from them.
No.
So
I expected another kind of S-frame type case, to be honest.
Yeah, so did I. So this is actually extremely cool. It's a... You know, just getting down to the specs of the case, it's going to fit. It fits normal ATX motherboards. There's room for water cooling, obviously, large graphics cards in there, all that kind of fun stuff. It's going to be $1,000, which I would say that's kind of justified, to be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it to be any cheaper.
Yeah, so it's a $1,000 case.
But it's got the fully, you know, like controllable LEDs and the motor and everything all through an app. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the case is made of all aluminum too, which isn't cheap when it comes to that type of stuff. So it is I would say this is the coolest thing that I've seen come out of Computex this year.
Yeah.
Number one,
now,
in my opinion.
No, it's awesome, but I don't think you're bringing this to LAN parties. It's got to weigh like a ton.
Yes. This has to be extremely...
I would imagine.
I would say a couple people are going to get them, and they are going to bring them to the LAN party.
Just to
show them off. This is a case, but you don't want to buy this case to have it sitting in your house.
Yeah.
This is a case to show off. This is a case to say, hey, look what my computer can do.
I guess if you're buying this case, you can probably get somebody to move it for you or something.
Yes, I would think. If you're paying $1,000 just for a case, yes.
Yeah.
there was actually Asus had one on display with their hardware in it, and they painted it and made it look kind of cool, like the ROG theme. I assume we're going to see some pretty badass mods in this thing.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of options for modding.
Yeah, so this is going to be one of those cases, just like the S-Frame has been one of the cases that a lot of people have been modding as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely, like I said, this is, if you're going to look at any of our articles for Computex, I would say this is one to definitely check out. It's the coolest, I would say the coolest, hands down the coolest thing that I saw at Computex this week.
I think most people would agree.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, we're going to keep with the cases, and I think InWin has just done a really good job this year. Out of all the companies, I think they had the best cases at Computex, I think. They upgraded their 904. So their 904, which we actually reviewed, is their, because it's sort of like the same thing. It's a aluminum and tempered glass type case, a kind of tower design, and they've actually made it bigger. So it's called the 909, and it's gonna just fit more hardware, more room for cooling. You know, because the other ones were kind of smaller. So this one, you can actually fit extended ATX motherboards in. There's more room for water cooling on the back. It's just bigger, which is great, because the 9 series from InWin kind of started with the mini, or the micro, I think it was micro ATX, or no, it was mini ITX, and then they gave you a micro ATX and normal size ATX, and now they're up to extended ATX in this case. So there's just a lot more room inside this case, more room for hard drives, so you can actually build a really insane system in this case. And it's a great case. Just
plenty of water cooling support.
Yeah, a lot of water cooling support. Again, it has the all glass on each side, so you can really show off your hardware inside. It's just a really good all-around case. So they had that, and then they had a new case, which again follows the same type of thing, but it's just designed differently. It's the 805, which is, again, it's an all glass case type.
I actually like this one a little better.
Yeah, this one kind of is more.
It's all glass.
Yeah, it's all glass. It's well, it's aluminum and glass. The frame is
all four sides are glass.
Yeah, so it's aluminum and glass, and it has a more tower type feel. So it's more square type tower type feel. It looks really good. It again, you just have to look at the pictures on the website of these. They just look really good. It's just a good looking case. Again, with all glass, you can kind of show off all of your hardware inside. So if you're doing a pretty cool build with ton of lights and different, you know, if you're doing water cooling and all that, you can really show off your build inside. So those are the three cases that Inwin showed that are just awesome. And I think, again, they had the best cases at Computex. So I'm really excited. I really want to get this 805 into review, actually.
Yeah. That'd be really cool to see.
Yeah. So definitely check out those cases. Again, I think Inwin did it best. But we'll move on to another case that I liked, which was the, I think it's called the DeepCool Nephrite. I really don't know how to say it. But DeepCool had this pretty interesting case. So it's a smaller case, made it look sort of like a console. But the cool thing about it is the graphics card actually goes on top of the case inside of an sort of like acrylic housing. So you can actually show off your graphics card. It's kind of interesting. I think DeepCool has kind of done this stuff. They have a couple cases that are just kind of different and weird. And this is one of them. It's kind of,
I really like it.
Yeah, it's interesting. So if you have a badass graphics card, you can really show it off in this case. At the top, it's sort of like this acrylic housing for your graphics card, and it shows the entire front and back of the card. So if you have a really cool card in there, you can show it off. One thing I'm not specifically sure of, it wasn't made that clear, but I don't know how, you know, with water cooling.
That's what I was just thinking, if you can do that or not.
Yeah, so I don't know how much.
It looks a little too small.
Yeah, the top looks a little too small, but it's pretty cool, and I think it's actually cool too, because like this is designed to be a smaller case, so it fits mini ITX motherboards. It's you know, something that you can just, you know, it might go in your home theater type thing. You know, and you can kind of show off your graphics card, which I like. It's out of the box, which I think. I love that companies are doing this in the case space. You know, we're so used to the typical tower cases, nothing really different. These are just kind of out of the box, different thinking, and I really like it.
Yeah.
It's
good to have companies come in and do stuff like this to kind of reinvigorate the rest of
the market.
The market, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a really cool case, and DeepCool is one of these companies that's actually doing this, and Inwin is too. These aren't these massive case companies that we know, but they're doing things that are kind of out of the box that are getting them a lot of publicity, and I really like it. And again, it just pushes the boundaries of what you can do and what's capable, and what, you know, other companies might see and be like, oh, we should do this, you know, we should try something different too. And that's kind of how we get these crazy cases, really.
Yep.
So, good
for everyone.
Yeah, our last case is from Antec, and this is their new flagship massive case. It's a $500 case.
I was a little astounded.
Yeah, it is
by the price tag.
It's a cool design. It's sort of made to be like what was Thermaltake's Level 10 GT? They want it to be a piece of art. I don't think it looks as crazy as the Level 10 GT.
It reminds me of that HP case from like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. But
well, never mind then.
I don't know. I don't follow.
It's got like the stand at the bottom. And
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a very cool case. It's very well designed. But it's just, for me, it just seems like there's a lot of wasted space.
If
$500 too,
it's cool. It's all aluminum panels. That's, I mean, gonna justify some of the cost. But the interior is steel, I suppose. It says, which is kind of cheaping out a little bit there.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of wasted space, I think, in the case. Yeah. It's good to see Antec come up with a different internal design. Than what they've used before. I like that. Aspect, mm-hmm. because Antec, I feel, has been kind of behind in the times when it comes to a lot of their case designs. So this is something new.
It still has like the Antec feel to it, though. The last shot of the top of it with the drill, the whole top is like a drilled perforated panel on the top for, I'm guessing, exhaust.
Yeah.
And that just totally feels like Antec.
Yeah, so they've done a lot of cool things on this case. Check out our post on it. One cool thing that a lot of people don't know is that they are going to come out with a version that has glass side panels.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's going to be coming out. That was in the press release, but nobody really talked about it. So yeah,
I wonder what the cost would be for the.
I think it's going to be
glass panels.
It might be the same. I'm not sure.
Like that would help justify the cost a little
yeah.
more.
Now this is a massive case too, so this is going to be one of the biggest cases that you're going to see.
How big is it?
It's big.
EATX, I would say. Yep, EATX 280 360. It's got pretty good radiator support.
Yeah, and I think
does the front drives come out to fit radiators?
No.
Oh.
But on the front of the, like, so in between the front and the
drive area.
Yeah, there's room for a 360 right there.
Still inside the motherboard chamber?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the hard drives, see, that's one thing that is always bothering me about Antec cases. It's like they have these, like, you know, certain things, and there's just not room for, like, if you want to remove all the hard drive cages, you can't put something in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should definitely be able to.
Yeah.
I could see some really cool mods, but that's going to be like a hardcore mod, like cutting the case. And at $500, you're not buying this to cut it.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Yes.
Disappointing.
Yeah. So, but besides that, like I said, it is a cool case. And it's, for me, I guess it's just good to see Antec finally changing it up a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not on the level. I would say like of innovation, like NZXT, or some of the other ones that we've seen that have really kind of stepped up the game internally when it comes to case design. But it's good to see something new. $500, I feel, is vastly overpriced. But definitely check out the article. You can kind of see what this case is all about. Might be a case that you like. It might be a case that you don't like. But that is, I think that's our last case that really came out of Computex that we liked. So we'll get on to the massive news, which has been all the graphics card news that come out of Computex, and there's been a lot. So we try to get some of the best articles. So obviously the most important thing is that the GeForce GTX 980 Ti was officially launched on day one of Computex. So NVIDIA had a little press conference, and they announced the card. As expected, it is a sort of cut-down version of the Titan X. So you have 2816 CUDA cores, 176 TMUs, 96 ROPs, and a 384-bit wide GDDR5 interface that, of course, holds 6 gigabytes of memory, not like 12 that is on the Titan X. Right.
That's all exactly the specs that we've heard, right?
Yeah, so that's okay. That's the specs that we heard. It has a clock speed of 1000 megahertz core, and it boosts up to 1076 megahertz. So yeah, it's a 250 watt TDP, and it
just pretty impressive.
Has an MSRP of $649.99. That also means that NVIDIA is going to cut the price of the GTX 980 to $499.99. With that, there was a bunch of cards that have been launched at Computex. So are you going to get one of these?
I want one. I don't know.
You're right.
I'm just not, I don't know. My 690 is still doing really good. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do. It's hard to justify.
Yeah, that's the thing too. You're like me too, and we don't play a whole lot of games.
We want to. We just
don't have time.
Yeah.
So
maybe 4K will force this.
Yeah. I've been looking at 4K monitors. I need to get one.
Yeah. This would be an excellent card for it.
Yeah. So, one thing about this being launched is that NVIDIA allowed board partners to come up with custom versions of the cards. So with the Titan X, that wasn't allowed. So when the Titan X launched, it was just Titan X. That's it. So with this, they allowed board partners to have custom versions of the card. And there were quite a lot on display at Computex. So the first one that I wanted to talk about was Zotac's GTX 980 Ti Amp Extreme. And this card has a 25% overclock, which is something that's kind of really unheard of when it comes to graphics cards, factory overclocks. You should see like 3%, 7%, maybe 15% at most. So a 25% overclock is awesome.
Yeah.
For this card. So that means the core clock will be 1,253 megahertz, and it boosts all the way up to 1,335 megahertz. So that's just awesome.
The nice thing about it is you're guaranteed those clocks then, and they can't ever drop, or you can send the card in under warranty.
Yeah, so that's what's great about a factory overclock. A lot of people are like, oh, factory overclock, whatever. This is a very high factory overclock, and I would assume with those high speeds, it's going to perform just as good as a Titan X in most applications, especially if you're gaming at 1080p. Even at 4K,
it's going to be quite the card.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those cards. And I heard, I haven't really checked it since we wrote this article, but I've heard that this card's only going to be $50 over retail.
Really?
Yeah, at 100 at most.
That's well worth it.
Yeah, so it's a great looking card too. Has triple fan cooler. And that's another thing that's great about these custom designs is that not only are you getting custom PCB design, custom power design, and you're getting custom coolers on all of these new GTX 980 Ti's. So it's just great all around.
It's cool because it's like right away too.
Yeah, so we're getting all these designs right away. While these cards might not actually be available just yet, they're in the works. They're going to be ready. So a lot of these are available now too. So yeah, great card there from Zotac. And another card that was pictured and shown, which is actually pretty cool for a lot of different reasons, is Asus's Strix GTX 980 Ti. And the one thing that was cool about this card that I felt was really cool about this card is that it has a new cooler. So Asus has been very, very well known for their VGA coolers. Their Direct CU technology has been kind of their forefront of graphics card. And a lot of people don't realize is that Asus is one of the ones that really pushed the development of this. So obviously now we see custom coolers from everybody, right? But Asus was one of the first ones to do it, and they really focused on bringing the temperatures down on graphics cards because for a long time graphics cards have run really, really hot. And Asus came up with their Direct CU technology a while ago, and they've constantly been improving it. And this card actually features their new Direct CU 3 cooler, which holds a lot of the same properties as Direct CU 2. These massive heat pipes, three large cooling fans, and it actually has a 0 dB technology as well, so the fans won't even turn on unless the graphics card gets to a certain temperature.
That's a really awesome feature. That's like, well, finally.
Yeah, a lot of companies are doing this now. So it's one of those really cool things that you just, you know, kind of see. There wasn't a whole lot of information on the card. It was kind of just sitting there, really.
Right. So it says it ships with a 15% factory overclock?
I believe so, yeah. So 15% overclock.
And it's incredibly tall.
Yeah, the PCB is actually quite large. So I think they're doing a lot of stuff with the power design on the card. And I would assume this card uses, with Asus on their graphics cards, they use really high quality components as far as the power delivery goes. So, a really cool card. It looks great. Asus is really pushing that Strix line, which I'd like to see as well. So, really cool card. Not sure when it's going to be out yet. Probably pretty soon.
Nice.
So, I think there was one more. Let me see. Yeah. So, one more card that was also shown was the EVGA GTX 980 Ti Kingpin Edition. So if you know anything about EVGA, their Kingpin Edition cards are their highest clock cards. This card is expected to be the highest clocked GTX 980 Ti. There was no word yet on what the clock speeds are going to be. Obviously, being a Kingpin Edition, we know it's going to be factory overclocked. We know it's going to be very highly factory overclocked. One cool thing about this card is that the cooling system is entirely made of copper. So typically with most cooling systems on graphics cards, the heat pipes are made of copper, but the fin stack is actually aluminum. This is the other way around. This is all copper. So
yeah, and it looks way better.
Yeah, so it's all copper design, which means we kind of expect it to be a very, very high clock card.
It should perform quite a bit better too.
Yeah, so, and it's a 3-pin power connection, so you have 2 8-pin PCI Express connectors and a 6-pin.
Which is just like ludicrous.
Yeah, the reference is what is the reference? That's a good question. I think the reference might be 2 8-pins.
It's 2 8-pins.
Yeah, yeah, so they have an extra 6-pin on there. So that also points to the fact that, you know, this is going to be a very, very high clocked card.
Well, they'll have more VRMs on this, and it'll be a beast card for sure. It'll probably Kingpin will do liquid nitrogen cooling on it, obviously, when he does. But I almost am certain he'll set the record with this card.
Yeah, so this is probably
for overclocks.
This is probably going to be the highest performing card, GTX 980 card or 980 Ti. Yeah. And yeah, so this is will definitely, I feel, perform higher than a Titan X as well. Again,
so, yeah.
No word when it will be out. I would expect in the next month or so. All these cards that we talked about should be out by then. They've had a lot of time to work on them.
Some of these are probably going to be limited edition.
Yes.
I would expect there won't be very many of this one, to be honest.
Yeah, this is going to be a very high limited edition, much like MSI's Lightning cards. So, yeah, very, very cool card. I love the all-copper design. It means the card's going to be quite heavy, too.
Yeah, it's really tall, too. I just noticed that. If you look at on the left-hand side.
Oh, yeah.
Where the bracket finishes off.
I think that speaks to, like I said, the custom PCB design that they're doing.
I wonder if there might be, like, one custom board design they're kind of going with. Like Asus and EVGA, and then they're kind of doing their own thing from there, maybe?
They could be. Not exactly sure.
Yeah.
But it's
guessing.
It is. I didn't really notice that. That's a good eye. I didn't notice that at all, to be honest. So these are the three kind of best cards we saw at Computex, just for obviously for their different reasons that we mentioned. 980 Ti is here. Pretty excited. One other cool thing that that was at Computex is that MSI showed off SLI, their own custom SLI bridges. And this might not be a huge deal to a lot of people, but I think this is really great because you buy these nice graphics cards, and then you get like these SLI bridges that are just, they don't match.
They fold down in between cards.
Yeah, and they just don't look cool. NVIDIA was the first ones to come out with their own SLI bridges that kind of match the reference NVIDIA cards. And then Asus came out with their own, which matched their high-end cards. And now MSI has their own, which matches their cards. And these look awesome. They're black, and they have red accents on them. They have the MSI gaming logo on them that actually lights up.
Which I think they all light up.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they all light up. And they can be controlled via GeForce Experience software as well, so you can make like the LED blink and do different things.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's just cool to see this. Again, these will match up perfectly with MSI's gaming cards as well as MSI gaming motherboards. It's just good to see this.
So it's a nice non-custom solution to sprucing up your case.
Yeah, and these shouldn't be that expensive. I believe the Asus ones when they launched were like $20, which people could say that's, you know, but if you're doing a custom system and you really want to show it off, this is the way to do it.
If you're really doing the rig right, this is not that much more to throw on there.
Yeah. So that kind of wraps it up for NVIDIA stuff at the show. Move on to AMD, and one cool thing that happened is that AMD actually showed their Fiji chip, the actual
chip. I thought that was really cool.
So at the end of AMD had their typical Computex press conference, and at the end their CEO pulled the chip out of sort of a la Steve Jobs and kind of pulled it out of her pocket and showed the world what the GPU package looked like with the HBM memory on it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think they kind of need to do that because there wasn't a whole lot of AMD stuff at the show.
No.
Or AMD news at all, really, at the show. So I kind of felt that it was needed. It gave us the first look of what the actual GPU package looked like. So we obviously there's been a lot of renders and a lot of ideas of what the case or what the CPU actually looked like with the HBM memory on it. Now you can actually see. There's a close-up photo we have in our article that actually shows what the GPU really looks like with the memory on the GPU package. Pretty cool.
Yeah, with the heat spreader over it. Yeah, it's not what I pictured, honestly. And
really?
It makes a lot more sense. I don't know what I just pictured like black memory on it.
No.
Silicon on there, but like no, it's actually got heat spreaders and everything on it. And
yeah, it's
cool.
It's totally different design. So if you ever wanted to kind of see where the future is going with, you know, check out this article because this is how most GPUs are going to be designed. So yeah, it's cool. It's quite cool. And another cool thing that was actually at the show, but obviously we don't have pictures, there was no pictures taken, but a AMD board partner actually was showing the new high-end VG card. Behind closed doors, they showed it to some people, they showed it to the press. Obviously, the people that talked about it didn't take pictures. They weren't allowed to. But they were allowed to talk about it, which is quite interesting. So it is a shorter card as we expected. It is cooled by a 120mm radiator. The cooling tubes come out of the back of the card. I'm trying to think what else is in it. The cooling system is made by Coolit. The memory is confirmed at 4 gigabytes of HBM on the card. It has
2.8 pins, 375 watts.
Yeah, so it was kind of shown to everybody. What was interesting is that the version of the card that was being shown, what doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
Which 2 weeks away from actual launch is kind of weird because these these cards are supposed to launch at E3, which is in 2 weeks.
Right.
So to have a card that it would turn on. But there's nothing installed on it, which is it's just weird to me.
Is it just there's nothing installed on the card, or they just don't have drivers for it?
No, there's nothing installed on the card.
Oh.
According to this report.
Right.
So.
But the board partner did say that it's actually slower than the 980 Ti.
Yeah, so that was the big thing, is that while nobody obviously talked about performance of the card or anything like that, according to this board partner, is that it's actually going to be slower than the 980 Ti.
That's a pretty big fail for them, I think.
Yeah. But they also said that obviously the drivers aren't there yet and that AMD is still optimizing the card. But again, 2 weeks away.
Two weeks away.
Yeah.
Should be pretty close.
Yeah. So that's kind of the big thing that was the real big news, is that it's not going to – So if you had a choice between this card – and the 980 Ti, I think you're going to go with the 980 Ti.
Especially when the AMD card is rumored to be more expensive.
And the thing about this, too, is that if AMD, with this, just like how NVIDIA did with the Titan X, if AMD doesn't allow custom versions of this card, why wouldn't you get a 980 Ti that looks cooler, that has better power delivery, you know what I mean? That you can get with all the
higher clocks.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. It just doesn't make sense. And this card is expected to cost more than 980 Ti, too.
Yeah.
I
wonder if they will adjust the price. I guess we'll have to wait and see what the actual performance is. But if they don't adjust the price based on that performance, I can't see this thing selling.
Yeah.
Especially at 375 watts. That's going to be hot still.
Yes. And that's the issue that they're going to have with this. So, yeah. I don't know.
We'll
I'm kidding. I'm getting really. I was kind of excited for AMD, and now I'm getting really disappointed.
Yeah, I really didn't expect to read that line that it was slower.
Yeah, so that's what was interesting about the article, was that I was like, oh, they showed it. You know, now we actually know that it's smaller. It does have the water cooler. It's 120mm water cooler. Then I was, you know, reading this report, and then it was like the board partner hinted that the performance is lower than the GTX 980 Ti, and I was like, what? Because originally, you know, everybody expects this to compete with a Titan X.
Yeah. In fact, I think some of the leaked performance slides had it faster.
Yeah. So, again, we don't know, because this is just all what a board partner said. And, you know, you're not exactly sure.
But why would they say that when they're actually going to be selling
it? And the thing is, it might be their version of the card or their driver. You know what I mean? You just, that's a lot of the, you don't know yet. You know, and again, those leaked benchmarks or whatever we saw, they could have been fake too.
You
know what I mean? You don't know, especially like a tech industry, where you see so many leaks and things that aren't true, and you know,
it's big views when you have specs, you know.
Yeah.
So you never know.
So one interesting thing, you know, AMD forbid anybody from showing any real 300 series cards at the show. They didn't want anybody to do that. Well, Power Color. Apparently showed...
Didn't get the memo?
No, here's what... Here is... So, everybody's reporting on the... Like, Power Color showed a water-cooled R9-390X Devil 13 card. I believe Tweaktown was the first people to cover this. I know the guys at Tweaktown. And I don't know why. Well, first, the article was up on Tweaktown, and then it was down. And then a bunch of other people were covered in, and then Power Color came out and said, no, this is just a 290X. Which, one, I know the guys at Tweaktown, I don't think they're going to report this as something different.
Yeah, than just for the press.
Yeah. Two, I don't think that, it was instantly up and then instantly taken down. And I think that Power Color was like, oops, we showed a 390X by accident.
The 390X is just a rebrand, right?
Yes. So the 390X is a rebrand of the 290X. So again, I just think that they Power Color kind of screwed up, and then to kind of fix it so they wouldn't piss AMD off, is they said, oh, it's just a 290X. We're just showing this custom cooling design that we have. I don't buy that. I know the guys at Tweaktown. I don't think they would report it wrong, and I don't think anybody else would report it wrong too, because a lot of other people, you know, went to Power Color's booth and saw. Or I don't know if it was even at a booth. It might have been at. Hotel suite, and so I don't think it would be reported wrong. And this is the only company that also was doing this, we didn't see anything else. So, yeah. I think this is
very likely a 390X.
I think this is a 390X. I think that this is a pretty cool hybrid cooling design.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, you're going to need for these cards, because it is a 290X that already runs hot and loud, and they're upping the clock speed and adding more memory to it.
So it's going to be hotter.
Yeah, so you're going to need these kind of hybrid cooling designs for the 390X series. Pretty cool looking card, though. It has a really awesome backplate. It actually kind of reminds me of the one that's on my 280X Toxic card that I actually have here. Looks almost literally the same.
It actually reminds me of some Kingston Memory.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's a cool design. I think we're gonna see a lot of this with 390X series. These high end cards. The Devil line from Power Color is their highest end line too. So yeah, definitely a cool thing. Kind of an oops. Didn't we talk about this last week? We were like,
we said that's gonna happen.
Oops, it's here. Yeah, that's kind of what I think. I don't believe that AMD originally planned to even show anything. But I think that they did for the fact that they needed to, because the entire show is all NVIDIA.
Yeah. They, like, swept it with that TI.
Yeah. So,
And the hype is just dying in general around the AMD cards.
Yeah, so I think they kind of needed to do that. So this is kind of the oops moment that we kind of saw. I wish it would have been the oops moment where you actually have a real picture of the high-end VG card, but that's not...
Yeah, the Fury.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. So this is kind of the best that we could do from Computex, which I love. That's why one thing I love about trade shows, we've actually covered it too, going to CES, you just see stuff that shouldn't be there, that's not out yet, that's not announced, it's just sitting there in a booth. And I don't know, like, a lot of companies do this just to do it, and then what they can say is they can be like, oops, we didn't mean to do that, and they get away with it, you know? That's
we didn't know it was in the box.
That's kind of what I think Power Color did with this too, is they kind of just were like, well, we're gonna show it, and then if we get in trouble, we're just gonna say it was 290X. Why would you be showing?
It's not even a lie, really.
Yeah, I mean, it technically is a 290X. So that was kind of the big graphics card news from the show. Obviously, the new GTX 980 Ti's, all the new models, and then some AMD stuff in there. But one cool thing that was kind of graphics card related was that MSI was showing a all-in-one PC that had an external graphics card dock. So
that's really cool.
We've seen these for a while. These have been seen for the past 3 or 4 years. An external dock to hold a graphics card so you can have better performance. Typically, they've been designed for laptops. But this one is... it's the AX24 is a all-in-one PC that's kind of... It's designed to be a basically like a monitor with a computer built into it. And what they've done is the graphics card dock is on the back of the monitor, which is very, very cool.
That's what's awesome. It's not like just a thing sitting on your desk.
Yeah, it's very big or very small. And it it's one of the best implementations I've seen of a graphics card dock. Now the issue with this is that it's only designed for this all-in-one PC. I would like to see in the future something like this. What would say maybe have like a VESA mount on the back or something along those lines.
So you can use it with any all-in-one?
And say either Thunderbolt or I don't know how you would. The biggest issue with these graphics card docks is how you get it to communicate with the PC.
Yeah, because you need a higher bandwidth.
Yeah, you need high bandwidth. I think with the ones made for notebooks, they use ExpressPort.
I'm not sure the ones I've seen.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the other ones. I think you use ExpressPort before, but you need very high bandwidth. The reason I covered this is because it shows the progression of these docks, because these docks used to be really, really big, and they used to take up a lot of space, and they were kind of while the technology was cool, it's like really no use for it.
You had to carry a card around outside of, like, this thing has a case that it's in and stuff.
Yeah,
and
so this is kind of interesting. I think that as the technology advances, and we didn't really cover it, but Thunderbolt 3 was announced at the show from Intel, and that's very promising technology as well.
Yeah.
It would be cool to have this where, you could do this. You could have powerful graphics that you could technically carry around with you, and it wouldn't be a big deal. And that could connect to any device that, say, had a Thunderbolt 3, port.
That'd be really, really cool. A small form factor like this, you just plug in the power, plug it into your Thunderbolt, and suddenly you can game correctly.
Yeah, so that's what I like. And the thing is, again, this is only designed for this all-in-one, but the idea of it, it could make it so much better for anything. You're going over your buddy's house and they have, or whatever. I mean, this anything that has would have the appropriate connection you could use this with, which kind of opens up a lot of possibilities and can make gaming into something that's not all about the high-end PC, right? You might not need...
If you could just bring a graphics solution.
Yeah, you won't need to bring your huge tower. You could bring this little dock that has the card in it.
And just run it on a slower CPU, but you've got graphics power.
Yeah, and like I said, the thing with Thunderbolt 3 is I think it's going to be much more widely adopted. So, this type of technology, it's something that we're not going to see for a little bit, but I just like the implementation that MSI did, and now that, this is something that they could come up with and be like the MSI gaming dock or whatever it's called. And, I think it's awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. I think that is all of the graphics card news. That was the last little bit of graphics card, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So now we'll move on to one of the biggest things that was shown at the show, which was all of the motherboards. So pretty much everybody had Z170 motherboards. So that's the next chipset that's coming out for the mainstream. So for Skylake, these are all the motherboards, and literally every motherboard manufacturer had Skylake boards there. For me, the most impressive ones were the Gigabyte ones, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they're definitely the craziest, coolest looking.
Yeah, so Gigabyte showed pretty much their entire Z170 gaming G1 line. So this is their gaming line, and they look awesome. Not only do they look awesome, they've done a lot of really cool things on the board. So many technologies are built into these too. Like they're the high end, it's the Gigabyte Z170X Gaming G1. This board has everything.
Now, would this be the G1 Sniper 3 equivalent? I'm guessing
this is the flagship gaming board. So that,
like, there won't be a Sniper this year.
No,
or for this chipset.
No, this is highest end.
Got it.
Highest end gaming motherboard that there is. And one, it just looks great. Gigabyte has done a lot of cool things to make the board just look awesome. On top of that, there's so many cool things in here. This has killer networking, not only wireless. It has wireless killer networking, but it also has wired killer networking as well. Nice. 20-phase power design, obviously supports DDR4. Built-in overclocking buttons on the board itself, something that you haven't seen that much from Gigabyte. It's made for PCI Express 3.0 x16 slots, which are perfectly spaced for four-way SLI and crossfire configurations. Two M.2 slots, and they're the high-speed M.2 slots. What else is in here? They actually have metal shielding on the PCI Express slots, which is something that we've never seen.
Oh, I didn't realize that was shielding.
Yeah, so that's something that we've never seen before. Awesome. Not only, obviously, it helps, but it also looks awesome.
Yeah, that's what I just thought it was aesthetic.
No, so that's actually that's metal awesome. Shielding. Yeah, so there's 3 SATA Express ports, 10 SATA 6 gig ports. It's just awesome. It's just an awesome board.
Do you know whether, because it's got 4-way SLI support, does it have the dedicated chip that the Sniper series had? The PLX chip, I believe it was?
I believe it does. Because, you can usually tell this, is that the PLX chip is usually located 2 places on a motherboard. It's usually located by the PCH chip, which is the lower part of the car. If you're looking, are you looking at the picture now?
Yep.
It's the lower part of the card that has the large heatsink on it. So okay. It's either located there, and as you can see, that heatsink's big. So it's covering a lot of components. So it's either there, or it's either right in the center of the board. You see that other heatsink?
Yes.
It's either there. So typically when you're looking at these boards, if it that's where it will be. And I'm assuming it's gonna. Because it has 4-way SL support, it has it. It wasn't really mentioned.
Right. I would think so. The Snipers did. If it doesn't, you definitely don't want to run 4-way on this board.
Yeah, so I would assume it did. It's, again, this is their highest-end board made for gaming, so it should have all that. It also has a very, very nice sound card built into it. Creative Core 3D sound. And their whole line, So Gigabyte showed their entire line, their entire gaming line, their Z170 gaming line, and all the way down the line, it's just a great series. And they've changed the colors. It just looks awesome.
Yeah, I think these are like totally Mass Effect looking boards. Like if you're doing a build,
yeah,
you want to do a Mass Effect thing, this is, I mean, a little late for that, but they look perfect for
it. Yeah, it's just like I said, these are just great looking boards. It's good to see Gigabyte push the envelope here. And do different things and the thing is they're changing the color design. So like you said, the other boards were different colors. They've changed the color design. They've done, it's just like I said, this is the best motherboard I saw at Computex.
Like Colorful showed their Z170 boards, right? Yes. And I was like a little sad because, we're not going to get those here.
Yeah.
This I think makes up for it.
Yes. These are awesome. And I want one right now. So that was the best I would say motherboard or yeah, best motherboard series that we saw. Asus also showed off a Z170 board. It was their Z170 Pro. That's part of Asus's mainline series. So that, you know, that is just their normal motherboard series. It looks good. I like that they've
still good boards.
They kept the color design from the X99 line, and they brought it to this, which I like.
I like the blue.
Yeah.
The slight blue on there. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it looks pretty solid. Overall, good board. Obviously, it has all of the Asus technologies that we're used to. Three expansion slots. Again, this isn't made to be a gaming board. This is just their mainline normal board. But yeah, it looks good. We see a lot on these boards, too. A lot of USB 3.1 on these boards. A lot of USB 3.1 Type-C connections. So a lot of the new motherboards are going to have the integrated Thunderbolt 3 / USB 3.1 controller, which is going to be quite interesting as they use the same connector.
Which is cool and smart.
But so Asus showed theirs. I did like it. Just to build it seems like that, you know, they didn't show their ROG or any of that stuff.
That's what I'm curious about. I want to see what they're going to do with those.
Yeah, so that's kind of the big thing. But they did show these. They showed this one. So this is kind of what the mainline series is going to look like. So that's kind of what you have to expect from that. Again, it'd be interesting to see what the ROG series, all of those type of cards, the Sabertooth line as well. Which, again, it's expected to Asus expect to have all these boards. They might not come out at launch. You know, Asus did this before where, like, they didn't launch a lot of their boards till, you know, the chipset was already out. They really wanted to make them good. But yeah, Asus had one, and then ASRock had their the Z170 Extreme 7, which is, again, ASRock has gone with a different design as well on these new motherboards. I think everybody has really changed their designs with this series. One thing that ASRock has done is they changed the color, so it's like a black with a dark gold, which I can't. You don't like it.
I don't like it. It's almost like a brown.
I don't know. I guess you're right. I mean, compared to the Gigabyte and Asus board, I don't like. Yeah. I don't like this one as much.
Because that's what I did. I went through the list of our boards that we covered in it. You know, Gigabyte, Asus, and then this one, and I'm like, ugh. That doesn't really. Maybe that was the wrong way to expose myself to it, but I'm not feeling this one.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird.
I was thinking it looks cool aside from the color scheme.
One thing I don't like about what ASRock is doing, they also showed their gaming board, which looks exactly like this, but it's like red. But it uses the exact same design. I don't like that. Like the look of the board is exactly the same. The heat sinks are designed exactly the same. It's just a different color. I don't like that.
Is that why they're bare boards for the other ones?
No. That's just what they were showing.
Because the other pictures we have, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't put the gaming board in here, but imagine gaming board looks exactly the same, except for instead of it's red instead of black.
Okay.
ASRock has done this for the past couple series. They did it on their X99 boards. They all were designed exactly the same, and they all the heat sinks were exactly the same. Like if you went to, because ASRock has their different series. They have their normal series, they have their overclocking series, and they have their gaming series, just like everybody else. But the designs look exactly the same. I didn't like that.
That's boring.
Yeah,
They're always the cheaper board, right?
Yeah,
It probably is saving them money.
Yes,
so
that's probably why. But yeah, those were the three kind of main boards that I liked. I totally forgot about EVGA. Sorry, EVGA. I almost forgot about you. So EVGA showed three Skylake motherboards as well. Their typical line that we expect from them. So we have the Z170 Classified, the Z170 For the Win, and the Z170 Stinger. So this is their typical line that we expect from EVGA. They all look great.
I really like the Classified, but it's not as over the top as the Gigabyte one. I wish it had a little more Now I want all that shielding now.
Yeah. So this board looks good. One thing that's kind of you don't really notice, but if you look at the top picture in the article, you see how the heatsink is kind of made to look like flames. You see that? A lot of people didn't notice that. Cool. Yeah, so that's kind of something different. Again, you have to think that all of these boards aren't completely finished designs. They're almost there, but they can still add things. Okay. Because this isn't going to launch till...
This is an interesting layout with the M.2 on the left-hand side.
I think that's a Wi-Fi M.2.
Oh, well then.
Yes.
Never mind. Yes. That wasn't
as cool. Because you can see how small it is, so it's not... Yeah. There's a second M.2 in between the two slots. So, yeah, that one's just for Wi-Fi, which is a good location, but then there's not a lot of room for audio components on that, which is kind of weird. AVGA has always kind of been a little bit different when it comes to their motherboards.
And they have. I've always like really liked the way they look, but they've always kind of had... been like flaky.
Yeah, like less features, not as good.
Yeah, and the BIOS don't always seem to be as stable.
Yes, that too. But yeah, it's a good line all the way through from EVGA. That's kind of what we expected from them. They have their typical line of motherboards. But at the show, Gigabyte stole it for me with their gaming series. I'm really excited to see those. Very, very excited.
The custom builds we're going to see off those. I mean, taking all that off and, like, repainting colors and stuff. Oh, man. It's going to be exciting.
You're quite excited, I think.
Cool. I am.
Yeah. So that was that. That's all for motherboards, right? I didn't forget anything this time?
Nope. Okay. We got them.
Talking about ASRock, they launched a pretty cool router. I have to say, this is one of the coolest routers I've seen. So ASRock launched a gaming line. It's called ASRock Gaming. This is where their gaming motherboards are going to fall in, but also they're going to have gaming products. And one of the products that they showed was their G10 gaming router. And this thing is badass. I want it, like, tomorrow. I want it, like, yesterday. So, one, it's all red. It looks awesome. It looks kind of like a PlayStation 2.
That's what I thought.
Was it PlayStation 2?
Yep.
Two. Yeah, it kind of looks...
The second version of the PlayStation
2. Yeah, so it's a big router. It is 802.11ac, AC2600, dual band. It has all that kind of cool stuff. So it's a beefy router in that sense already, right? Yes. So it has all that stuff. Cool thing about it. A couple cool things about it. One is that it has this... dongle that pulls out of the back of the router that is a it's a travel router in itself. So you know, like, I have a travel router when I go and I travel and I want to share a internet connection for a hotel room. That's what the travel router is for, because you can't do it any other way. It's locked to the MAC address of whoever connects to it. So if you have multiple devices, you want the internet to be used on your phone as well as your PC, and you know, if you have friends in the room, they want to connect, they can't do it, or they're going to have to pay. So it's a travel router. So that's awesome. That's you can pull it out of the back of the router. It's a travel router. On top of that, it's sort of like a Chromecast type device. It's an HDMI dongle as well. And
now, does it do both at the same time?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It does both at the same time, and then on top of that, it so the article that we got this from was not in English. From my understanding is that it's going to work just like a Chromecast. It's going to work through the router. So anything that's obviously connected to your router, you can stream to this HDMI dongle that's plugged into your TV, which is pretty awesome. And I assume there's some app or whatever that you can use to do that. Very, very cool. That's awesome. And it's just like kind of like a value add onto the product, right? It's always good to have a travel router at all times anyways. The HDMI dongle is also awesome, so it's just like having a Chromecast, I guess.
It's just like a 3-in-1.
Well, it's going to be a 4-in-1 because the router actually has infrared transceivers on it as well. on the front and back of the router are infrared transmitters, and what they actually do is that you can set the router to learn all of your remotes, right? So if you have this router in your home theater or wherever it is, you can have it learn your TV remote. You can have it learn your cable box, your Xbox, whatever, anything that has an infrared remote, you can have the router learn. And then you can download an app on your smartphone that controls everything.
And you do that through Wi-Fi then instead of IR?
Yes. Well, no. That's... Well, it's – yeah. So the on the app on your phone is obviously going to run via Wi-Fi. And then it's going to tell – you're going to give the command to the router, and the router is going to turn on your TV.
Right.
Via infrared, which is pretty awesome. It's just, again, another value add-on to this product. It's kind of cool because we've seen – I've seen products like this before that kind of do this. But it's all built into the router. So as long as the router's in relatively, you know, in the same room, I would
assume. Yeah, it's got to be installed in the correct space.
Yeah, but this is actually pretty cool. And what's one thing is they pointed out is that, you know, a lot of products, say you have like an air conditioner or something that uses a remote, you can access this from...
Oh, nice.
If you don't need to be...
From wherever you're
at. Yeah, so you can log into the router from... down the street, or you know, you're on your way home, you can log into the router through the app, and then you can turn on your air conditioning or heat or whatever it may be before you get home. It's just another little cool value add-on to this product. Again, it looks awesome. It's a high-end router. It has everything that you would expect, and then these extra value add-ons make it really good. It's expected to be around $250 and be released in July. Nice. I might get it. I like it.
Sweet. You should get it to review. That'd be fair.
Yes, that would be. I don't like paying for technology. So
yeah.
So that was one of the. That I think this is one of the cooler things I saw at the show as well. It's cool because when a lot of companies, because this is actually ASRock's first router as well. They're kind of branching off and doing other products, and this is their first one. And I think it's a pretty big step for their first router.
Yeah, I hope they get it. I hope they get all the firmware correct on it, and it works well for
them. Yeah. So one other cool thing we saw at the show was that CryoRig revealed their hybrid liquid coolers, which are quite interesting design. So these are typical. So CryoRig, we know for their air coolers, all their heat sinks and stuff that we've been reviewing over the past year. And now they're doing all-in-one liquid cooling with...
Which is exciting.
Yeah, so this is their A series, but the coolers themselves actually have fans on the pump, which I guess are to one not only help with cooling, but to cool the components around the cooler as well.
Yeah, like your RAM and your heat, your chips or your VRMs and everything.
Yeah,
your
and phases in typical CryoRig fashion, it look awesome.
Yeah.
It all looks really, really cool.
At first I was like, what's going on here? And then I was like, oh, that's really smart.
Yeah, so it looks really good. It'd be interesting to see how these perform. Could we see a possible rival to Corsair in the all-in-one cooling space? They've done it with their air coolers. I would have to say their air coolers have really stepped up and become, for me, some of the best air coolers out there. So
yeah, for sure.
This Corsair, look out.
Whole industry, really.
These look great. I'm not sure when they're going to be launched. I'm not sure if it said in the press release when these are going to be launched.
I didn't see. Yeah. Pricing will be important, too.
Yes. Summer of 2015. So pretty soon we'll see these come out. Obviously, it looks like you might be getting some of these to review.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm pretty sure you're probably excited for. So yeah, that's what CryoRig. That was a big announcement from CryoRig. We talked about the other stuff last week because they announced a lot of the stuff before the show. But that was their big thing, all-in-one liquid cooling from them, which again, pretty exciting stuff. Non-Computex news. Well, I guess you could say it's related to it. But pricing for AMD's R9 series was announced. And the big thing was that it is more expensive than the R9 200 series when it was launched, which is kind of interesting. One thing about the price list that was also kind of interesting and I don't want to say leak, but they list the GPUs that are part of the 390 series. And again, they all are rebrands, but the GPU for the 390X and 390 isn't listed as Hawaii. It's listed as Grenada, which is actually supposed to be a rebrand of the rebrand of Hawaii. So we're actually going to see not a rebrand, but it's a better implementation of Hawaii. So we're going to see a hopefully a more efficient Hawaii chip. Not exactly sure.
Right.
Yeah. So that was kind of the thing, but it was kind of interesting that these are going to be more expensive.
Yeah. Same exact thing, just a little more.
And the
money.
Thing is that a GTX 980 Ti is what, $649 we said, and a 390X 8 gigabyte is supposed to be $500.
Yeah, and what, the 980, regular 980 is down to $499 now, so
yeah,
same exact price.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
I mean, you got double the memory, I guess, because the 980 is a 4 gig card, I believe.
Yes.
So I mean, it might, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's just really it's very sad to see all rebrands.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible.
I don't like that at all.
It's at least. I mean, NVIDIA rebrands as well, obviously, but they don't make it as part of their, like, main part of the series, right? They'll be the lower-end cards.
Yes.
So, like, at least give us, like, a handful of new cards, you know?
Yeah, so I think we're only going to see 2 cards.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it. 2 new cards, both high-end, both vastly overpriced.
I just don't see that working for them.
Yeah, it's going to be a
price strategy.
It is going to be an interesting year, to say the least, for them. So our last piece of news, this has been a very long podcast, I feel. Our last piece of news this week is that the release date for Windows 10 has been announced. Are you excited?
Very excited. Do you have the little upgrade icon on your desktop now?
I didn't actually look at it, no.
Bottom right-hand corner?
I'm not going to do it now because we're doing the podcast.
Oh, come on.
But, yeah, so the release date was announced. It will be July 29th, 2015, which isn't that far away. You'll be able to upgrade for free if you have a legit version of Windows 7 and 8.1.
I think that's just crazy.
Why?
Like, it didn't strike me as crazy up until, like, now. Like, we're just going to get it. Like,
and if it, well,
up until now, it's like you always have had to decide, do I really want to pay for this new version of Windows?
One, I think they want the adoption to be quite high. They want everybody to be on this platform. And Windows is going to be more of a service. This, from what I've heard, this is going to be the last version of Windows, right? It's going to be a service from now on rather than, you know.
So get ready to microtransact.
Microtransact. You get ready to have a lot of updates all of the time, always being worked on, that kind of stuff.
This is fine. That's fine by me.
Yeah, so if you have a legit version of Windows 7 or 8.1, you should see a little icon in your bottom type the little taskbar, and it will allow you to kind of get your place in line to get the upgrade. They started cut.
And what is it? What do they mean by that? Like waiting to download, or
I think they're gonna. Okay, so obviously a lot of people have Windows 7 8.1. You have that many people downloading the ISO, or, you know, downloading the upgrade at the same time, it's gonna kind of crash everything.
Right. So they're just kind of ordering the servers. Or something?
So yeah, I think when you put your reservation in, it kind of puts you in line to get it, and then when it's your time, it will automatically download for you.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting where they have it set up. It's good that we have an actual date now, so we can't speculate. Yeah, so are you going to be upgrading?
Of course. Yes. Well, okay. I'm going to wait. I'm absolutely probably going to upgrade, but I'm going to wait, as usual, and see if it's got, like, terrible errors they missed, and then I'll upgrade.
I will be upgrading.
Just straight away?
Yes, probably.
I might upgrade my laptop right away, which is on Windows 8.1.
That's good. Yeah, I'll do the laptop first because that has 8.1 on it.
Yeah,
that's actually a good idea. So I'll upgrade the laptop that has 8.1, and
see how it goes.
Yeah, I'll kind of see how it goes from there.
especially when you like are running a business from your computer, and knowing how everything works is pretty important to you.
Yes. So yeah, that is our news for the week. Crazy week. I'm gonna sleep for a long time after this week.